Tear Fund Ireland is a Christian charitable organisation which strives to end poverty by working through the church community to see lasting local change with whole communities lifted out of poverty for good. Amanda Prather works with Tear Fund Ireland and she took some time to speak to me about the latest work of this organisation. Amanda, thank you for your time.
Well, thank you so much for having me on, Arthur.
Tear Fund Ireland, again, we've spoken before, of course, but just give us a recap in terms of the vision and the focus of Tear Fund Ireland.
So Tear Fund Ireland seeks to demonstrate God's goodness, love and justice, as in Jeremiah 9:24 speaks about. And so for us, we want to see communities flourish from poverty and injustice. We want to see people transform their lives. We want to see people, communities changed and overcoming poverty. So that is our goal as we go forth.
Okay. And in terms of how you actually do your day-to-day work, give us an understanding of how it actually plays out. I understand you're working in different places like Syria and so on, which we'll talk about in a minute. But in terms of how you deliver your services, how you help the people on the ground, give us the basics of the bones of it that works.
Yeah, so we work with local partners on the ground. Currently, we're working out of Cambodia, Ethiopia, and Lebanon. And so then if we have humanitarian responses that come arise, like the drought in the Horn of Africa, or, for example, the Syrian earthquake, which we can talk about. But we have local partners that are there and able to assess the needs of the community. And so our goal is to, for example, in Ethiopia, through self-help groups, we have groups of 15 to 20 women that work together. They build relationships. They take complete ownership of these groups. They're savings groups. So they save weekly and they're able to distribute loans within the group. And then they're able to start small businesses or invest back in their community. So it would be able to, you know, not only does it deal with poverty alleviation, but it also deals with relationship building, skills building, things like that. So in Cambodia, we focus on alternative care. So we have children that are living in institutions where they might have parents that are still living or other family members that might be able to care for them. So we work with partners that try to integrate them back into family-based care because we've learned through research that that is the best method for children, that institutions are in fact actually quite harmful for them. And then in Lebanon, we work in humanitarian responses, primarily with Syrian refugees who have an abundance of needs, fleeing their home country. There's a lot of needs there. So that's kind of the basis. And then if we have emergencies that arise, we're a part of the Irish Emergency Alliance with six other Irish NGOs. And so we'll come together and form a response based on the needs that are there.
Okay, so I understand Syria and Lebanon are two of the areas you work in, just two of the many areas. So give us an understanding of what's actually happening there and how it's playing out at the moment.
Yeah, so I just want to give you a bit of background in terms of understanding the complexity that might be going on within Syria and Lebanon. So they're neighboring countries, and for years, decades, from like the late 70s to the early 2000s, Syria was an occupier of Lebanon. And then in the mid-2000s, that changed. And then when the conflict broke out in Syria, many, many, many people fled the country into Lebanon. And so currently now there's 1.5 million Syrian refugees. So if you were to think of it in the size of Ireland terms, it would be like Dublin is all of Dublin is Syrian refugees and the remainder of Ireland is Lebanese. So that would kind of be the demographic makeup of that. And so there's just great need for people. I mean, when you're fleeing your home, there's lots of needs going on. And so I think one of the things that our partner looks at is they're a faith-based organization. And so for them, you know, Mark 12:31 talks about how Jesus tells us to first love God with all of our heart. And then secondly, to love your neighbor as yourself. And I think that that's quite a challenge when you're in a situation like people in Lebanon are. But I think our partners have done a great job of being able to say, look, we're speaking up for those who can't speak for themselves and defending the rights of the vulnerable, as it talks about in Proverbs 31. Some of the ways they're doing that is they're supplying ready-to-eat food meals and hygiene kits. There's creating child safe spaces for children in Syria. So kids can have a chance to learn skills, to be safe, to have psychosocial supports, because there's a lot of trauma that would be going on when you're in a conflict country and you're having to flee your home. In the past winter, there was really cold temperatures. And so when you don't have a home and you're living in kind of tent-based shelters, things like blankets and heaters and mattresses are very important. And we also work with cash transfers and food vouchers for families in need, as well as a lot of the educational systems that are not unavailable to people that are fleeing. So children might not have the opportunity to go to school. So there's been, within churches, there's been informal education centers that have been set up, again, to provide children with education, but also give them a safe space. You know, their children are quite vulnerable. So there might be exploitation or other kind of nefarious things in the community. And so that's a way to get them inside, keep them safe. And that's what our partner is doing over there.
Okay. And in terms of the operations, just it gives an understanding maybe of the difficulties faced by your the people you're connecting with in terms of delivering this aid and how to make sure people get the correct aid and how they get out of that rut they're in.
They're very fortunate to have a base. We have a base in northwest Syria. So, for example, the earthquake afterwards, that they were able just to immediately have access to goods and services there. And so there, you know, through the donations that came in, they were able to purchase, because it was winter, it was February when it happened. So they were able to purchase right away jumpers, blankets. And so there wasn't a barrier in terms of, you know, getting items to people there. It was quite quick and easy. And because within Lebanon, the Syrian refugees are living in country, they're able to you know, be right there in the country with them and work with them. And one of the things I'd like to note as well that I think in terms of a challenge for our partners is that Lebanon itself is in the middle of a crisis. So since 2019, they're in a severe financial crisis. And I think it's the World Bank said it was one of the worst in 150 years. So there's just widespread poverty in Lebanon itself. You know, services are unable to be accessed. There's been, you know, rations of fuel, medicines, things like that. And it's a political crisis as well. So it's just, it's a challenging situation. But I think that's what really, we really love to see with our partner is that they see the importance of helping everyone in need, no matter where you're from, no matter what you're facing at the moment, that they're saying, yes, this is a person, they deserve to be holistically cared for, to have dignity. And so we want to help in that way.
Okay. In terms of the workers on the ground, could you give some feedback on how they're actually faring, the actual, these workers on the ground, of their own experience and in terms of the whole coming together?
So we had a couple of examples. So as I mentioned earlier, in the mid-2000s was when Lebanon was freed from Syrian occupation. And one of the things that when we talked with one of the NGO workers there, they were saying, and I thought this was really great, they were talking about how in Lebanon, there was, you know, different factions and that they all came together. And they said that what unites us is greater than what divides us. What's best for me and what is the common good for all of us. So one of the things that I think that was noted, that is something that I didn't think about in particular, but when people come together, they're leaving behind part of their identity. And a lot of that identity has been shaped by pain. But through this, they've said that there's a bigger desire to come together and work together. And they say, how can we serve all of us? And I think that's just such a great way of looking at it and also understanding where why we're doing what we're doing and what's surrounding in the communities that might be impacting the work.
That's just some of the areas we're speaking about, Syria and Lebanon, of course. Just give us a brief overview of the other areas you're working in as well at the moment.
So as I mentioned earlier, we work in Ethiopia and Cambodia and Lebanon, and we've done drought response in the Horn of Africa. So, for example, we earlier this year we did in Somaliland, there was a lack of clean water because of the drought. So we partnered with Tier Fund Germany and they were able to bring in water trucks and provide clean water to internally displaced camps for people that had fled their homes looking for clean water and food, because the devastation that's occurring because of the drought is quite serious. We also have been working as well in a drought response in southern Ethiopia in the Barina region. And it's a similar experience. People are not having access to food or water. Their livestock, which they heavily rely on for their livelihoods, are perishing. And so there's just a lot of dire situations. So in that, we've been able to provide monthly assistance for food and, you know, and for example, women that are pregnant or for young children under five, we've been able to provide additional food that has a lot of nutrition meant to combat nutrition from the lack of food sources. So those are a couple of areas where we work as well.
And in terms of how can people get involved in the work you're doing?
Well, one of the things we always say, first and foremost, is to pray. And that is something that we think it's vital. We know that it's vital in our personal lives and it's vital in our professional lives as well. And so just pray for all those involved, pray for the situations that our partners may find themselves in, the challenges that the community and the participants in our programs are facing. Pray for that, pray for the staff. But we also encourage you to get involved in a number of ways. So one example is Pedal Against Poverty. So that is an ongoing summer event. And if you're a cyclist, and it doesn't matter if you are Tour de France level or if you are just a leisurely cycle in the park, you can cycle to raise money for Cheer Fund Ireland. We also encourage people, of course, to support financially. So you can do that through a one-off gift, or we really love to be able to have like monthly supporters. And, you know, you could do other things as well, like sharing on social media, following me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. You can find us on there, and just telling people about our work. Because when you're passionate about something and you're sharing it with someone else, it tends to kind of have a chain effect. And, you know, people want to learn more about what you're excited about. So that's one of the ways we encourage as well.
Where can people find more information about what we've been chatting about today?
You can go on to our website, tierfund.ie, or you can again find us at our social media. So there's Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, under Cheer Fund Ireland as well.
Amanda Perrother from Cheer Fund Ireland, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.